Welcome to HQAF Radio. I'm Alana.
And I'm Francis. And this is a show about two best friends.
Okay, so I was on Venmo paying my therapist.
Your therapist takes Venmo, girl.
Yeah. Oh, all the therapists are like woke as fuck now. Like, it's everything. I know a couple people are paying their therapists via Venmo. And so my mom is seeing a therapist, and her therapist is old as shit. And her mom, she's like, oh, yes, I did teach my mother how to do Venmo. Oh my God. I'm the Jesus of 2021. Look at me go. But, she was laughing at her therapist, 'cause she's like, oh, I was asking what her username was. And she said, oh, it's little A P A. And she's like, what do you mean little A? Do you mean the at symbol? She's like, no, it's the little A. And she's like, oh my God, she's old as fuck. I'm like, mom, that's so funny, 'cause you're old as fuck. And my mom was dragging her therapist.
Oh my God. I am super excited to hear about your plans for HQAF.
Oh my God. Yeah, which plan should we start with first? I have so many plans.
I guess I'm going to hear about these paid ads that you're thinking of taking out.
Well, I realized that I've been doing marketing totally wrong. Like, of course, we're not gaining organic followers. We're not using paid and targeted ads, because I do feel I have a good sense of our target market, and we haven't been reaching those people. Like, do we think people are just going to type into Google a podcast between two best friends talking about their friendship? That isn't for anyone except us. So we do have to, like, lean into what we do talk about and reach that demographic.
I'm curious about who you think our demographic is.
Okay, well, first, I don't know if the first thing will offend you, but I don't know if you noticed, our last post did really, really well. And like, when I say really well, we got 23 likes as opposed to like 10. Not even 10, sorry, you checked, it's like 7 or 8, but we got all these likes, and I realized all of the accounts had something in common, and I used very specific hashtags that I don't usually use, and I think that had a, you know, influence on it, and it's that there were more gay people that were liking our post. Like, people really liked that I tagged hubbies and husbands. I didn't even tag like love is love or gay marriage is great or like any of those. Like, whoa, I would really reach our demographic. But that's why I'm thinking, like, we should lean into our gay demographic. Is that offensive? I'm so sorry.
No, not at all. Okay, so there's a difference between like the gay demographic on Instagram and then the gay demographic that listens to podcasts. Like,
podcasts.
Do any of them actually have any of them heard our that episode with Chris? I don't know.
No, so they haven't, because we haven't done any paid ads. We haven't even done any targeted ads, because what you can do in, well, various social media platforms is that you can specifically set up ads or sponsored posts to reach like a very specific demographic. Like, you can go and type in, I want it between this age and this age. I want them, like, with LinkedIn, you can put in what occupation, what job titles you want to see your certain posts. And yeah, so I imagine Instagram is the same thing as well. Like, if someone uses this many hashtags, like, they're really into plants or they're really into gardening. Why am I only thinking of plants? I'm leaning into gay people. We're really into being gay in America. Like, there's just so much potential there.
I'm not sure that this would really appeal to me, like, as a gay person. You're not, like, appealing to my gayness with this.
I know. I was thinking about that, how we don't like talk about gay issues every week. like you are gay, but like that doesn't come up every episode. So I have also thought about that, but like the gayness is all I have, because otherwise, oh, anime? Maybe? Because I was trying to think about me, but I'm like,
do we need to like just like have a more targeted brand? Like, instead of two best friends, maybe we just like two best friends that talk about gay issues, or two best friends that talk about their dreams every episode.
So That is also something that I thought about and I was conflicted about, because what if it negatively impacts our show that we try and do episodes that cater or tailor to towards one type of audience or targeted, you know, demographic, because then we're not being our authentic selves and we're not being authentic to the show. So I did think about that. I will say that my plans didn't go further than that last Instagram post that got me very excited because it had 23 likes instead of 8. We're still at like 49 followers, which is what we had before the post went up. So it's not like we gained followers on Instagram, which is like the lowest level of engagement you can measure. So,
What about this? What if we had like a podcast network where we have like different shows? Well, we'll still have HQAF Radio, but then we'll have like, I don't know, Ghost Catchers Anonymous, where every week we tackle the issue of ghosts and try to communicate with the dead. Another episode idea, or series idea, we start a podcast about dreams, and we talk about our dreams and ask people about their dreams. You know, like, that way the content of each podcast is targeted, but we can just like create several different podcasts, you know.
Oh my god. And then HQAF Radio is the parent company. It's like the umbrella brand, and then all these other podcasts are like the children podcasts, and it's because it's both us, but it all funnels into the overall HQAF brand. Oh my god, are we gonna do merch? Does this mean we're gonna do merch?
Yes. Probably. I mean, like, where do you want to spend your $10 that we've made over the past 4 years? Do you want to do merch or paid ads?
I was going to say paid ads, but I think we do have to figure out what demographic we're going to commit to. Maybe this would be a good thing to ask Catherine. If we were to, like, up our marketing game, like, who the fuck is our demographic?
Oh my god, is that going to be our story arc this year? Like, figuring out our demographic?
Honestly, it should be. I was re-listening to the Truth or Drink episode, which was the end of 2019. And wow, we were so filled with hope. I mean, we were so filled with alcohol. We were very drunk. But we were so filled with hope and we were so excited. And there was one line that made me laugh so hard that Catherine said. She said, in 2018, you guys evolved as a podcast. In 2019, you evolved as people. And then you said, oh, in 2020, are we going to evolve as people artists? And then I said, oh, are we going to evolve as scam artists? And it's just so funny. There has to be a demographic of people that just appreciate observational humor or situational humor, because I feel like we are a funny podcast.
I think we're both funny, but...
I think we're a very funny podcast. But, I mean, only one other person has said that, which is Catherine, and she loves us.
I'll tell you this, too. Like, Chris listened to his podcast, and he was like, I'm so boring. I find myself, like, who would want to listen to this? So, I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. I listened to it twice. I was like, I think it's great.
Did you tell him it got the most likes on Instagram? From, like, gay Instagrams? Hey,
so I'm going to tell him that.
Please do. Tell them the gay community stands. Oh my gosh. Do you want to hear my plans for my birthday special episode for HQAF Radio?
Yes, please tell me.
So I'm turning 30 this year. And some people might think, wow, Alana must be really depressed that she's turning 30 in quarantine and like can't have a whole party. I actually kind of love it because I have felt like there's a lot of pressure. Like if you turn 30 and you don't have a big blowout, and I'm just like, oh, like I'm not a big birthday blowout person. And also I've always been someone that celebrates milestones that aren't the traditional milestones. For example, when I turned 21, I did not care. I did not do anything. Like it was very low key. Now, when I turned 22, I had one of the only two birthday parties I've ever organized and thrown and like invited all my friends, like the happiest I could ever be. And to me, because 22 is my favorite number, I felt like, oh, this is the year I have to go all out. Like 21 means nothing to me, even though that's when like people go and they party and they have the whole thing. I don't give a shit.
Instead of significance on like events, because 21 in, you know, like the example you just posed, 21 is when people can legally drink. Like that's the big blowout. That's once you can drink alcohol, that's what signifies you as an adult. You don't care about alcohol too much. Like you have had a history where it's not like the greatest thing. And exactly. Like, especially because of your significance on numbers or the significance you put on numbers, like of course 22 makes like absolute sense for you. Are you drawn to 22 and because of your birthday?
Yes, probably. Definitely. It's also my mom's favorite number too. Like when she was pregnant with me, her due date was the 16th of February. And she apparently told me every day when she found this out, I guess in utero, saying you have to be born on the 14th, Valentine's Day, or the 22nd, because that's my favorite number. So 22 has always been her favorite number. And then I was born on 2/22. And then that, I guess, yeah, that became my favorite number too.
Next year is big. 2/2/2/2.
So I'm turning 31 on 2/22/2022, and it is going to be so lit. I already texted Catherine, like, clear your plans for the entire month of February of 2022, because it is going to be so fucking lit. It's going to be crazy. Like, I do not give a shit about my 30th. The 31st, I don't even know. I'm going to have to spend the whole year planning it.
What's the big party that you've got in mind?
Yes. So, okay, well, should I start with my big blowout for when I turn 22, or should I talk about, like, I'm an adult and what my big blowout is going to be at 31?
What's your adult, what did you do at 22, I guess? Let's start there, and then, like, I'm super curious about, like, your adult plans, almost yes. A decade later.
So, when I turned 22, I really wanted to do the one thing I wanted to do with all of my friends. And that was play laser tag.
Really?
Listen, I love laser tag. And there is not a person on earth that says, wow, laser tag is just like not fun. I could do without it. No, laser tag is really, really fun. And so I invited all my friends. I rented a private room like you do for an 8-year-old. Laser tag at UltraZone and invited all my friends. That included Allie and all of the people I worked with at college. I was doing a college internship at the time. And all my friends outside of that, like Harley and John and Sam. And we had a blast. And it was so much fun. And I remember one of my friends was like, oh, are you sure? Like laser tag? Like, isn't there an age limit? I'm like, no, there's not. I Googled it. The one time I used Google prior to 2019, I used it to find out the age limit on UltraZone. I could go laser tagging with my friends.
Actually, this was kind of surprising. I almost first, like, don't see you as like a laser tag person.
Really?
Yeah, because there's a little bit of like aim and dexterity involved, and like it's just things that I associate with you.
When you're in your 20s and you're like a full foot and a half taller than the children that you're playing with, you can feel really good about yourself playing laser tag. So that's the thing, like, you know, it's a very small space and there's a lot of running around, and which they tell you, like, don't run around, like you could run into someone, you could trip on someone, you could hurt someone. Well, you don't have to run when you're almost 6 foot and you're playing against children. So that's how I felt really good about myself.
The reason why you chose laser tag is because you knew you could beat children at the game.
Yes. I am surprised that this is surprising to you. I had to do something where I could win.
Oh my god. Is that what we're doing next year? Are you doing another laser tag party?
So here's the modified adult version. So what my party is, I was thinking about, like, okay, well, what does Alana like that is a group activity? Because you know I like writing, and you know I like anime, and I like very specific things that aren't necessarily group activities. So that's a problem. And so I was thinking about it, and realizing I want to go dancing, but I don't want to go out dancing. I don't want to go to a club where they're not going to play my song, or I have to, like, you know, flirt with the DJ to play one song like an hour later. No, fuck that. Like, there's too many people and sweaty. And also, I think dance clubs are also canceled after COVID. I don't think those are coming back. Who knows? But I was like, well, my hope is this year, we hope, crossed fingers, I haven't really done any formal planning, but you know that my intention is to buy a home in 2021. So I would love to have a big blowout party at my home, at my house, ideally, hopefully, and like open up a dance floor. Like, I'm going to dedicate a whole floor to a dance floor, and I'm actually going to host a party. Like, truly, like, go and clean my place and, like, not just, like, have a room that holds all the dirty laundry. Like, I truly go and do a theme, and it's going to have music, and we're going to have a great sound system set up. Like, it's going to be so much fun, and we are going to dance till the morning.
Yeah, you're going to have, like, lights. You're going to have, like, a smoke machine.
Yes, like, truly, like, I'm going to have, like, a big blowout party, because I don't do it. I've only had two parties in my entire life, and the other time I'm just like, oh, I'm okay, like, I'm preemptively tired, like, I've never really cared about hosting parties. It's just not my personality. Like, I like celebrating things for other people, but for my birthday, like, I just like to relax. I like to be lazy. I like to do the same shit I always do, and that's like fine. I'm just kind of like a laid-back person. But 2022, whew, girl, it's gonna be insane. So I really hope you will come, because you're going to need the whole weekend. Like, I'm already, like, I'm going to take Monday and Tuesday off. Like, it's going to be a long weekend of partying.
When we look at the house, huh? I'm going to, like, tell you, okay, this room is great for the dance floor for your party.
Yes. I want to christen my house with my 31st birthday. Yes, like, manifesting that. I don't even know when I buy this house. It could be, no, it's not next month. Like, but it could be the early portion of 2021. But that's when I'm going to christen it, in 2022.
Your current place isn't, like, a great for hosting. It's just because it's, you know, like, you have that one dining table that seats two people.
It is, for context, audience, when there are more than two people, which is the number of people that live currently in this apartment, it is, like, awkward. Like, Francis, you can attest to this. Like, it's just not accommodating to even three people. Like, it feels like a crowd, and it's one apartment. Like, it's a one-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, like, when we sit at your living room, like, it's you, me, and Harley, like, on that same couch. Like, we're all very comfortable and cuddled together.
Right next to each other. Yeah, like, getting all cozy and nice together.
So, is this serious? Are you gonna, like, buy a house before the end of the year?
I want to, yeah.
I knew that these were your plans. I didn't know that, like, it was gonna happen.
So, that is 100% my attention, and definitely different from your right to think, oh, well, I knew that was your plans, but you've also planned to do stand-up comedy, and you've also planned to, like, only see a dentist for adults, but then you still saw your pediatric dentist. And, like, I definitely have a tendency to fall back on plans. But we really, 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 really want to move out. Like, we've been in our apartment for 3 years, and we're over it.
I'm super excited for you. That's, like, big news. Like, definitely, like, if you need any advice or, like, are looking for some like a third perspective on certain houses, like, hit me up, or even hit Chris up. Like, I'll tell you, once you start looking at, like, houses and Redfin on Zillow, like, you can't stop. Like, you're like, oh wow, this backyard, oh, like, I could totally see us, like, hosting parties there. Or, oh, that dining room, like, mm-hmm. What were they thinking, those stupid assholes? Like, that design doesn't work at all for that house.
I love that those are your thoughts, whereas my thought would be, okay, wait, has anyone died here? Like, how many owners have there been, and did they sell it, or did they die in the house, and then, like, the kids sold it? Like, that's always where my mind goes. But hey,
Francis come here and conduct a seance?
Yes, can he communicate with ghosts? Like, are we gonna talk to people from other decades? Like, yeah, that's what I think about, which is probably, like, your approach is probably way better.
Like, I will warn you, though, once you start looking at houses, like, actually, like, looking at houses, you, like, for some reason, just, like, get sucked into the thought of, like, buying it. And, like, it's a whirlwind. So, like, don't get yourself started in looking at houses until you're absolutely sure that that's, like, the time that you want to. Because, like, Chris can attest, like, we were just like, oh, October, like, 2 years ago, we were just like, oh, you know what? We're going to buy our first house, but, you know, we have a lot of time. We don't have a timeline. Let's just look and just get a sense of what we like. And I think the second house that we looked at that October, we put an offer in because we were just like, oh, I fucking love this house. Things go by so quickly here. Let's do it. Let's buy it. We didn't buy it, obviously. Like, it fell through. But, like you get sucked into the...
But, yeah, it jumps through the process. And then you, like, when you're in, you're in.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if, like I think it's part of it is, like, you go to the house and you can just picture yourself in the house. Like, if you find a house and it's, like, truly, like, meeting all of your criterias and it's, like, oh, you both are agreeing on it... It's one of those things that if you find it, you almost always have to, like, go for it right away, especially if you're, like, in the area that Chris and I are in right now, or even where you're at in Arlington or in DC. Like, this metro area, it's so hard to find that perfect intersection of both of your guys' wants.
I know. Yeah. And that is why I'm kind of holding off a little bit. I just know I'm going to get super sucked in. And so I've been trying to, like, play cool a little bit. I've downloaded all the apps. I get, like, alerts of new listings. And, like, even I went to a workshop actually the other day, not the other day, like a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. And I just got a call today, from those realtor saying, oh, we saw that you came to this workshop. Would you be interested? Like, are you interested in buying a home? And, like, I just don't want to jumpstart that process till I'm way closer, because then they will never, like, from what I've heard, they will never stop bothering you about it. A realtor said it's like they're very hungry, which is good because it means, like, they do their job and they do it well. And that's wonderful. But I don't want to, like, you know, get 500 calls a day for something that I'm not quite ready for. So I told my mom, I think a couple weeks ago, like, hey, mom, you know, this is the year, I think, where we want to go and move. And I thought my mom would be distraught. For those of you that don't know, I live down the street from my mother, which is the most Italian thing I have ever done in my life. Like, I thought it was pretty Italian until I moved down the literal street from my mother. To describe how close we are in distance, she is a 4-minute walk from my apartment to her apartment. So we see each other a lot. Like, we actually, in pandemic times, we've been going on daily walks together. We share groceries. Like, I'll buy her groceries or she'll bring by groceries to me if we happen to go to the grocery store and pick some stuff up for each other. So, honestly, in pandemic times, I've been living for it.
I think she's been mentioned, like, when you first mentioned you were moving into that apartment, she's like, oh, I can see that apartment from my apartment, from my balcony.
Well, yeah. Oh my God. Way to, like, throw my mother under the bus. Yes. When we first started looking for an apartment, my mom was like, oh, don't live in my building. Like, it's awful. It's really old, but live in this building. And I promise I can't see. So she lives in an apartment complex where the apartment building company owns 5 buildings that are all very close to each other. So they're separate buildings, but they're close to each other. So she was like, don't live in my building. That's way too close for comfort. Your husband will hate that. Live in this other building owned by the same company. And I promise I can't see your balcony from my balcony. And I was like, oh my God, she totally can. Like, I found out months later, like, oh, she totally could. So the benefit of my current apartment is that she can't physically see me, like, peer in from her apartment to mine. She's in a very high, she's on the 8th floor of a, like, big elevator type building, whereas I'm in what they describe as, like, a step up, like, condo type of thing.
You can't see Alana from the road.
Yes, she does. And it's, she's mentioned it before, and it's just as concerning as it sounds to hear that. Like, she's commented saying, oh, I was driving by your apartment and I looked in and I saw your lights were off and it was 10 o'clock and I thought, oh, it's so great that she went to bed early. You know, it's so great to know when my daughter's home and she's in bed with her husband. I'm like, that is so weird, Mom. That's so weird. Don't say that to me. Stop it. what are you doing? But that is my mother.
I'm surprised that she wasn't like, oh, please don't move. Like, you're never going to find a house around here. Like, you might as well stay in the area.
She's so excited. Like, I thought she would have that reaction where she was going to be distraught and heartbroken. Instead, she's giddy. Like, just last week or 2 weeks ago, she found this house and she's like, oh my God, this house is so perfect. I'm going to open up I'm going to schedule a virtual meeting with the realtor. What time are you available? Like, what time do you have meetings today? Like, come over. I'm like, Mom, oh my God, like, slow down. We are not at that step. Oh, Francis, you're going to love this story. So Patrick has a really old car. You know this. He has a 1997, or maybe you don't know this. Audience, maybe you don't know this either. I should assume so. So my brother Patrick, when he was a little kid, he's always been into cars. But he's very specifically been into one car, which is a Toyota Corolla 1997. Like, when he was 4 years old, 5 years old, however old he was in 97, he looked at Toyota Corolla, red, 1997, and he was like, that's my dream car. That's my favorite car. I love that car. And he maintained that belief up until his 20s. He buys his dream car at 20, Toyota Corolla, 1997, and he loved it. Like, the car fit. It's a smaller car, but it actually fits him. My brother's 6'3". He's a, tall guy. Couldn't even fit my Honda Accord 2003, but fits perfectly into his 1997 Toyota Corolla. And he loves this car, and he like goes and he washes it every week and he takes care of it. And he's like super good. He loved it, got a personalized license plate, has loved it. But as any almost 30 year old car goes, it is, it has problems. It's older and it's been having some more problems recently. And it's gotten to the point where it's kind of like, it's not broken, but it has underlying issues that my brother knows if I take this to a shop, it's going to be worth, like, the repairs will be worth more than the car. And so my brother's been working full time now for 3 years. He lives at my dad's house. He's been sitting on full time employment money, not really paying any bills. He pays my dad rent, but it's like super cheap. For 3 years. So he has quite a bit saved up in his bank account. And so when his car started having these issues, he was like, maybe it's time to get a new car. Now, I know what you're all thinking, audience. Well, what would a boy, man, sorry, he's 28 years old. What is a 28-year-old's dream car if he already has his dream car? Well, it turns out my brother has developed a new dream car, which is a Toyota 86, which is a very specific car that they don't make many of. Do you know it, Francis?
No, like 86 as in like 1986?
So Toyota made a car in 86 and it didn't do very well, but they actually redid, it was like a Toyota plus Subaru collab. I don't know what to call it, but like these two companies worked together and made this car. It didn't do very well, but then they brought it back a couple years ago and it still didn't do very well. So like they don't manufacture it in the US. They only manufacture it in Japan, but they still make some of these cars, but just like fewer of them. And so like an updated ones, not like this is from 1986. It's like the same model or wireframe, but like updated. I forget how many years ago they like ran the second line and like it still didn't do well. And apparently it's a meme car. You'll have to ask him. I have no idea. Actually, that leads into the content. So Patrick's like, my car's breaking down. I want to buy a new car. Like, I have money. I'm older and I can't afford it. And I was like, oh my God, great. Can me and Francis come with you to buy your car for content for the radio show? Like, 100% Francis. I was like, oh my God, when can we loop Francis in? He'll be great. He can haggle. We'll come up with a story. Me and you are married. Francis is our brother. And Patrick's like, we literally look the same. Like, there's no one that's going to believe we're married. I'm like, okay, then Francis and I are married. I'm like, I'm trying to come up with the story of like why the three of us are there. And it's Frank and Angela all over again, just several years later. And so I'm just like, oh, come on, Patrick. It'll be so great. Come on. Let's have Francis come in. Let's do content.
Oh, my God. My first thought when I looked it up, because I, as you were telling me about the Toyota 86, I looked it up. I Googled it. I was like, oh, man, I wonder, if we can, haggle that down. And you read my mind. Girl.
You know I'm all over it. I was like, it would be so fun. It'd be so great on the drive out to the dealership. We go over the plans, the strategy, the three of us, make a plan. This is what we're going to do. And then after the fact, it'll be like when we saw Detective Pikachu, we do a recap of how it went, how much, what kind of deal we got on it. And Patrick was just like, nah, it's really weird.
That would have been a great episode about us haggling. Oh my God.
I know. It would be amazing.
Is he going to haggle? If he's planning on looking around and shopping and all that stuff. Maybe have a content on tips on haggling at car dealerships. Oh my God. It's my favorite thing.
Wouldn't that be such a... Oh my God. I knew you would be all over it. And we would have so much fun. So Patrick says, and correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. I don't know anything about buying new cars, because I've never bought a brand new car. I've only bought used cars. And so this is actually a huge event, I realized, because no one in our family buys new cars. We only buy used and over 20 years old cars. And so this is a big deal in our family. We're whoa, everyone is excited. Everyone, my brothers, my parents, we're just whoa, look at us. We're rising in the society because we're buying a new car. I told Patrick, oh, come on, it'll be great. We'll haggle, we'll save money. You love saving money. Come on. And he said, you tell me what's what. He told me that, you can't haggle with a car where they don't make a lot of them, because, you can't go and say, oh, well, I can get a better deal elsewhere. They don't make these cars in a lot of places. This one dealership, it's 70 miles away, and it's the closest one. The next closest one is in Ohio. So it's how can you haggle? He told me that you can't haggle if there aren't many cars. Is that true? And if you only want specifically one car, he wants this very specific Toyota 86 in this one color red. What are your thoughts? Can you haggle?
That's not necessarily true. So if he's buying a new car, it is harder. But you have to think about it from the dealer's point of view. Imagine I'm a dealer and I am holding five cars in my lot right now. That's five cars that mm-hmm. could be used for stock for something else. So, you have to consider a lot of different things. But in Patrick's case, if he's buying a new car, then he is a little bit right. It's harder to haggle a significant portion down for newer cars, just because, they're new, they're more liable to sell quicker than older cars, than used cars. But there's still some leeway to haggle, because car dealerships work off of commission and they have numbers to make every month. It's just a little bit harder. The tactics are a little bit more, I wouldn't say cutthroat, but you do have to play a harder game, just because of the situation of new cars coming into that dealership. I don't necessarily think just because this is a limited edition, it sounds like from what you've told me, it is, even though it is limited edition, nobody gives a fuck about this car. So it's why would these dealers
it did not do well.
Yeah, why would these dealers want to hold on to this car? There's absolutely no reason for them. If you were the dealership, and you find somebody who might be interested, you want this car off of your lot. That's the only, nobody else is going to take it. So they might be
right.
more primed to give him a deal because of that situation. What's so interesting to me too is the story behind this, because your family seems super into it. You should just do a whole story podcast about your brother just buying a new car. This is huge.
I love that. No, it seriously is. And so Oh my gosh. So the story continues because he found this dealership and they said, okay, well, we have one coming. It's in freight because they literally only make these cars in Japan. They don't make them in the US. And so they said, oh, it's going to be here between February 8th and the 15th. And by the way, well, here's where the interesting part is. He said, oh, when it comes here, you need to make a plan to come right away because we have other people who are very interested in this car, have been waiting for this car to come straight off of a boat from Japan. Like, we have other buyers. And so my brother has been waiting, anxiously, excited, plotting. And so he called them actually today because he didn't hear from them. And it's been 2 days since February 8th. And they said, oh, we get a notification when it's 2 days away on the boat. And like, we haven't gotten that yet. So it's still going to be a couple more days. But like, we're going to call you first and let you know. And so my brother told me like, oh yeah, when it comes, like I have to just leave. Like I have to take PTO and just go 70 miles because this dealership is like out in the middle of nowhere, Maryland. And so initially he said, oh, I'm like definitely going to go with mom or dad. I don't know who. And I said, oh my gosh, I can't believe you wouldn't ask me. He's like, oh, well, would you come? Like, I want you to come. And I'm like, I don't give a shit, whatever. It's typical, like, my brothers are dicks, but actually I'm the dick. So clearly a callback to that. And so then I thought about it and I realized, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, I should 100% come. You just made me realize for the content. But two, I realized this is the most exciting thing to happen to my family in years. And then two, this is like one of the most exciting things to happen since pandemic. So I'm going to go with him. Like, whenever he gets the call, like, I'm planning on going.
I mean, like, okay, so let me tell you this, because Patrick did not play it cool. He's not playing it cool at all. Like, how does he know that the people are, like, lining out the door for this fucking car that's coming in that apparently isn't doing well?
I know. Oh my God, wait, Patrick lacks chill?
Oh, yeah. I mean, but I think we both know that. Like, Patrick is probably not the person that plays it subtle or plays it cool if he's, like, really into something.
He's not. Yeah, I know. Oh my God. So these guys were probably like, oh, this guy really wants this car. Like, oh, there's people lining out the store. Like, they're, you know, it's like an Apple release. They have camps outside this dealership waiting for this car coming off the boat that no one wants.
Like, not knowing too much about this car, like, is it actually popular or is it not? And if it's not, and they're telling him this, they're just like trying to amp him up. That way he can come into the dealership, get it right away, and pay close to full price, or if not full price on it already. And I mean, that's just sort of my sense. We'll see.
Do you want to come to the dealership? Do you want me to convince my brother to have you come?
God, I don't know, because he's already given away too many cards. He's done the hackest way of just having no fucking chill whatsoever.
Wait, so do you think there's no this is a point of no return? Like, he has to now pay too much?
Yeah, like, if your brother's like super into the car, like, you know, sometimes it's just kind of worth like going after your passion and just like not haggling. Like, haggling's my passion, so he definitely doesn't have to haggle if he doesn't want to, and especially if it's for a car that he's super into. Like, I always think that there's definitely a premium in terms of like wanting to buy something that you're super passionate about and wanting to, I don't know, feel good about yourself owning it. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that if that's what he's into too, like, yeah, he doesn't need to save the grand or 2 grand that I'd be able to save him if I were to kind of like really dig into this.
I know. And I love haggling too. And I would love to see you in haggling action. Patrick, he's so committed. Like, he's not walking out of that dealership without the car. So like, whereas I feel like, you know, to truly haggle, you have to like lay your cards, you know, you have to be firm. And so I was like, oh, maybe it would actually be like a clash like between you and Patrick, because Patrick just wants to like buy the car, but you're trying to save him money and like using the tactics. But Patrick is too much like me, where we're just very honest. Like, this is what we want. Give it to us, bitch. Like, you know, it just might be like a clash instead of a cooperative effort.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like if you were to go in with somebody like that, or like if I were to go in with like Patrick, it would need to be a little bit of like good cop, bad cop. Like it's definitely like, mm-hmm, okay, yeah, for him to show passion about a car, but he would need to let me reel him in. And sometimes like, there might be a situation where you just have to walk off the lot and just be like, sorry, like, we're not gonna do it, and let them call you back. You know what I mean? Like, and
yeah,
for some reason I just don't feel like Patrick would be that kind of guy. Like, he probably would just want to buy it right off. So, you know,
exactly. Yeah, which is why the future episode where I buy a new car will be great.
Frank and Anila.
I would love that. And seriously, yeah, because I am all about, like, I love haggling. And so I would love to let you, like, totally take the lead. And yeah, like, let's get the best deal. Like, I love getting a deal. But I think Patrick, yeah, it's just a different scenario where, like, it just wouldn't be for him. He would probably just get annoyed because it would be getting in the way of, like, what he wants. But I would be all about, like, shopping around, like, fucking making the deal, walking away. Like, it would be so much fun for us.
I will say I am interested in, like, all of this excitement around this 86 and the new car. Like, you should, I'm totally on board on, like, this little saga of this year. Like, I want to, like, learn more about it.
So you want me to record it for content? Like, do you think other people will be excited?
I don't know. I'm excited.
Yay! This can be just super short. If you could have a superpower, what would it be? What would it be, like, teleportation? Would it be flight? Would it be just the ability to control other people? What is it?
Oh, teleportation. Yeah. I have always wanted to, like, just go from one place or the other and just be there instead of, like, having to deal with traffic or having to deal with that sort of stuff. Like, I guess I know some people enjoy the journey. I just prefer to be a little bit more efficient, especially if you're just, like, traveling on vacation. Imagine going to Japan and not having to deal with that 12-day flight or 12-hour flight.
Yeah, 14 hours, actually. It's even longer. It's so long. I know. my God.
Imagine, like, right now, if I had that teleportation ability, I could just, like, go to the beach and not have to worry about flying to the beach and, like, having to deal with people. I could just teleport to my room and be at the beach.
Yeah, actually, so there was a period of time, or actually, still, I'm currently in that period of time. So I have a coworker that lives in Australia. We have an Australia office at our company. So we have once a month a team meeting in which the Australia marketing manager is also on the call. And we only do it once a month because Australia time zones, like, we have to have it really late in the evening for our time. It's really early in the morning for her time. But almost without fail, the last three meetings that we've had that have included my Australia colleague, I always have dreams where I'm hanging out with her in Australia, and it's so much fun. Like, I've had no interest in Australia up until I started having these dreams very recently. I guess the past 3 months, because I've had, like, three different Australia dreams now. And so I told my coworker, oh, you know, looking forward to our meeting because I'm going to have this dream about being in Australia. Like, I've told her, oh, like, we're always having fun. It seems really cool. And, like, the terrain, like, it really feels like I'm there and we're hanging out and kangaroos. And she said, oh, yeah, well, you know, when COVID's over, maybe we can get you to come down and see our office. And I was like, yeah, maybe, but it's like a 20-something hour flight. I mean, Australia is out there. And I'm like, man, I just really wasn't interested in, like, adding a place that's, like, Japan is really far. And I love that place. I will go.
I love how you're like, well, Japan's 14 hours, but I'm not going to sacrifice another 6 hours to get to Australia. Fuck that shit.
I know. Even though, like, in my dreams, so interesting. But it's, like, weird because never had any interest. Always kind of felt like, oh, it's far away. Never watched any movies. I mean, I'm sure if I, like, watched any shows or saw it, I'd think, oh, it's really cool, because I've heard great things about Australia. Like, I don't think it's a bad place to visit, but I've just always been like, oh, I don't want to get myself excited about going because that's too long of a flight. Well, now that I visited it in my dreams, I'm like, shit, now I want to go. I'm like, god damn it, dreams. But yes, it is pretty ludicrous to go 14 hours. Yes, 20 hours, hell no. I think it might even be more than 20 hours. Who knows?
So what would your superpower be? Would it be flying? Would you fly to Australia with your own accord?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I would fly there. I I never take into account, I should say, the fact that it would still take me a while to get there. I always just think like, oh, if I fly there, it'll be fine. Like, it's like Dragon Ball Z, right? Like, I can be on the other side of the earth and like that. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I guess you would probably be slower than a jet plane, so it might take you a while.
For sure. Yeah, so like for me, I think flight covers teleportation because I'm like you, you know, if I could just get there instantly and I'm of my own volition and without having to deal with other people, I would love that. So in my dreams, like my flight is instantaneous, it's very fast, and I just love the feeling of flight. Like, at least in my dreams, obviously I've never flown before because I physically can't, but in my dreams, like, flying feels so fun, and like the weightlessness and almost similar. I mean, you know, I've done, like, when you're in an airplane and it kind of goes up and down, like, you can feel kind of the weight, or a roller coaster. Sorry, that's a better scenario than a crashing plane, actually. I haven't been in a crashing plane, but sometimes, you know, they go up and down. But roller coasters, you're like, you know, that weightlessness, and it's like, that's what makes them really fun, other than it's thrilling, exciting, scary. That's what I love. I love the weightlessness right before you go down. And that's what I imagine flight is like. And so, at least in my dreams, I don't know, it might actually be more of a pain in the ass. It'll ruin my hair for sure. But flight would be my superpower. Definitely.
Nice.
I was kind of nervous about today's episode because I thought there's too much going on. What will this episode even be? But now it's so clear that it's so many good things that I don't even care.
Like, I literally thought that when you said, I love this podcast, that you were referring to HQAF.
That's like, so accurate, though. That's me. I know. Oh, my God.
It's very meta because, awesome. Like, all we talk about is, like, content and...
Yes, and our target demographic that we're going to do paid ads for. Yes, it's going to be very strange.
That's it for our show, folks. I'm Francis.
And I'm Alana. And you can find us on Instagram at hqaf.productions. We post every other week.
And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
And until next time,
the best ship to sail on is friendship.